It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Monday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy for a couple of days this week while Sandy takes a little break. It is the Monday after Brexit. And there's a whole lot more reaction to that this morning. The markets, by the way, the Nikkei was actually up this morning a little bit, but on the other side of the Atlantic, not so good. The pound is down again, and some of those markets are still in the throes of trying to find out how Brexit, how the UK exit, the vote to exit the European Union is going to work out. The Dow probably going to be down again today, but you're going to get a whole lot more about the financial side of things from our own Dan Celia when he comes your way in about an hour here on AFR Talk. But it's another busy news day. As I say, more reaction to Brexit. We're going to get to that in just a second. Hillary Clinton making a more detailed response than what she had on Friday. Some interesting comments there and some analysis, actually, and a warning to Hillary Clinton coming from a New York Times piece this morning. It's a very interesting. Also today, Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, is due to wrap up its session probably with a very critical decision with regards to abortion. And this really has to do with some abortion laws in places like Texas, where attempts are being made to try to make abortion clinics more responsible in their operation. And here basically is the thrust of the case. In the case of Texas, all clinics performing the abortion procedure in the state must operate as certified, quote, ambulatory surgical centers regulated under the same standards as hospitals. Now, good people on both sides of the issues might ask, well, what's the problem with that? Don't you want highly professional individuals treating women? The other aspect of it is that's being challenged is a provision that would force doctors performing abortions to first obtain admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. Now, lawmakers in Texas have said the regulations contained in the 2013 law, known as HB2, would improve patient care and safety. So, of course, the other side is not buying that. They are using the argument that it just makes it more difficult for women to get abortions. But this is the latest attempt, as I say, to try to bring more accountability. In the wake of what we have seen in the last year, the horrific videos coming out of what goes on behind the doors, for example, of Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue being sold, the tissue of unborn babies being sold, those videos out there, and now the makers of those videos being taken to court. It just seems so upside down when you talk about these things logically. But here you have the Supreme Court today. It'll be interesting to see, probably making an educated guess based on the ideology of those sitting on the United States Supreme Court. It could be another one of those 4-4 ties that we saw last week, in which case they would defer back to the lower court decision. There was a federal judge that ruled against the Texas law initially, and then an appeals court has driven it up, their decision has driven it up to the United States Supreme Court. So we are expecting that decision probably sometime this morning. And our pro-life reporter and legal reporter, Charlie Butts, and American Family News and OneNewsNow.com will be keeping an eye on that. A big case today, and be in prayer about that. It is the lives of unborn babies that we're talking about here. And as I say, this law in Texas, and it reflects the thinking of some other states as well, that it is time abortion clinics became more accountable. If they're going to operate at all, they need to be more accountable. They should be held to the same standards as hospitals are. The doctors who perform these horrible deeds ought to be held accountable like other doctors are who work for hospitals. And that is what the thrust of this Texas law, and as I say, also being considered in other states, is all about. So be in prayer about that, and we will keep you informed. Now, details coming out, further details on reaction to Brexit, as you're probably aware, by about a 52-48 margin last Thursday, the people of the UK voted to leave the European Union. There was instant reaction, of course, in the markets. Now, President Barack Obama, along with presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, had both said in advance of the vote last Thursday that they hoped the UK stayed in the European Union. That, of course, did not happen. Now, it's kind of interesting. Hillary Clinton gave a more detailed response. Both Obama and Clinton, in the wake of the vote, basically said, you know, we're still good partners with Britain. That was about it. But over the weekend, Hillary Clinton responded a little bit further to it. And she said, without mentioning any names, and speaking at the annual gathering of the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Indianapolis, she said, steady, experienced leadership is what the U.S. needs to avoid the kinds of troubles Britain now faces. She says, we need leaders who understand how to work with other leaders to manage risks, who understand that bombastic comments in turbulent times can actually cause more turbulence, and who put the interest of the American people ahead of their personal business interests, obviously a reference to Donald Trump. And then Clinton called the vote for Britain to leave the 28-member bloc a sobering reminder that, quote, what happens around the world has consequences that can hit home quickly. She said, our priority now must be to protect American families and businesses from the negative effects of this kind of tumult and uncertainty. Now, are you catching that? She's more concerned about the impact of the decision the British people made to leave the EU. What she is missing, and what's interesting in a New York Times piece that is out today, what she is missing, actually it came out on the weekend, what she is missing is the reasons, and she's refusing to address the reasons why the British people voted to leave the EU. They were fed up with a central government, the European Union government, based in Brussels, Belgium, telling them what to do. She's not addressing that. What she is saying, well, we have to avoid that kind of thing here. We have to protect American families, she says, and businesses from the negative effects of this kind of tumult and uncertainty. Well, what's causing the tumult and uncertainty? What's causing the tumult and uncertainty in this country? And analysts are pointing this out. What's causing the tumult and uncertainty here is a large federal government taking more and more control of people's lives. And that's basically the thrust of this, again, New York Times piece. Very, very interesting. New York Times, no conservative bastion, that's for sure. Here's the headline. Brexit revolt casts a shadow over Hillary Clinton's cautious plan. So Mrs. Clinton shares more with the defeated Remain campaign than a similar slogan, her Stronger Together, echoing its Stronger In. Her fundamental argument, much akin to Prime Minister David Cameron's against British withdrawal from the EU, is that Americans should value stability and incremental change over the risks entailed in radical change and the possibility of chaos if Donald Trump wins the presidency. So there you have it again. She actually believes everything is stable and really good, and she just wants to continue the policies of President Barack Obama. We're not seeing that. Peace goes on to say she offers reasonableness instead of resentment, urging voters to see the big picture and promising to manage economic and immigration upheaval, just as Mr. Cameron did. She, too, is a pragmatic internationalist battling against nationalist anger. Well, why is there nationalist anger? It is the Democrats that have been in control for the last 7.5 years. So why is there, if the policies of Barack Obama are working, why is there nationalist anger in this country? And what this piece basically said, she is not willing to look at that. It goes on to say, but prudence is cold comfort to people fed up with more of the same. According to their friends and advisors, Mrs. Clinton and former President Bill Clinton have worried for months that she was out of sync with the mood of the electorate and that her politically safe messages like, I'm a progressive who gets results, were far less compelling to frustrated voters than the political revolution of both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. Sanders and Trump, now listen to this, folks, Sanders and Trump won a combined 25 million votes during the primary season, compared with 16 million for Mrs. Clinton. And the theory is out there that many of Sanders' supporters really don't like Hillary Clinton, so they'll either stay home in November, or some of them may actually vote for Donald Trump. We saw during the primaries, the primary numbers for the Republican primaries were huge. Major increase over the primary numbers in 2012. As opposed to the Democrat primary turnout was much lower, certainly much lower than 2008 and lower than 2012. So the Clinton camp, this is the thrust of this New York Times piece, the Clinton camp is in trouble. It says Mrs. Clinton does not have any plans, advisors say, to take cues from the Brexit campaign and start soft-pedaling her support for globalized markets or denouncing porous borders, illegal immigrants, and the lack of job protections and free trade agreements. And that is the very thing people are upset about. The local businesses, many of them say, the free trade agreement that Bill Clinton and her husband brought in are still causing great economic problems here, because what happened is these big companies were allowed to start closing down plants in this country and shipping off those jobs to other places, be it in China or in Mexico. And people aren't stupid. Even those who would normally vote Democrat, they have seen those jobs disappear because of Bill Clinton's North American Free Trade Agreement. And now Mrs. Clinton, she talks about dealing with immigration, but she's going to deal with it the same way that Barack Obama has been dealing with it, basically allowing more and more illegals to stay in this country. It is only because of that Supreme Court vote last week, which basically said that the president overstepped his authority in trying to protect and not deport millions of these illegals. So even the Supreme Court, at least four on the Supreme Court, recognize that the president's executive powers have gone too far. But Mrs. Clinton says, I'm going to continue the same policies as Barack Obama. So it's very interesting. And as I say, this is a New York Times piece. It's very interesting when you start to look at and analyze why those voters in the UK wanted to get out of the European Union. One of the big issues was immigration. You may not be aware that because as a member of the European Union, the Brits had no say over how many of those migrants coming in from Syria could enter their country. That was under the total control of the Belgium-based European Union leadership. They had no choice. Last year, I think the figure that I saw, 300,000 of these migrants came into Britain, overwhelming the economy. They couldn't handle it. And the reason so many of these migrants wanted to go to Britain is because they're very generous in their social programs. But the locals, the residents, the taxpayers of Britain said, we can't take this anymore. And that was one of the big reasons. And they also felt that their economy was not benefiting at all from being a partner in the EU. And those are the kinds of things, as I say, even according to this New York Times piece, that apparently Hillary Clinton is missing and could cost her the election unless she changes. So it's going to be interesting to see how the polling goes. There is the feeling that there is this same sentiment in the United States heading in this election. And we'll see if there's any kind of change. My bet is Hillary Clinton is not going to change her political ideology. And how will that affect the November election? Back with more San Rios in the Morning in a few minutes.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I love to lead people to Jesus Christ as a layman outside the walls of the church. Consider this. Whatever you're facing today will have zero meaning 100 years from now unless it's moving people closer to God. So use whatever you're facing today to move people closer to God. I don't care what it is. Get creative. Everything you do could have meaning forever with very little effort on your part. No matter who you're with today, simply look for fun ways to interject your love for God and His love for them in simple, non-offensive ways through your countenance and actions and words, and really mean it. God wants to love everyone around you through you in every situation, and you'll be eternally rewarded every time you do that. Turning every circumstance into an opportunity to lead people to Jesus Christ is God's purpose for your life, and revival outside the walls makes it fun when you rely on our ROTW mobile app throughout your day.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. President Obama wants you to cut back on scrambled eggs and salt. Oh, yeah, he also wants us to stop drinking Coca-Cola. The administration released new dietary guidelines that pretty much suck the joy of eating right out of the refrigerator. For what it's worth, we can still eat lean meat, but ribs, cheeseburgers, bologna, and anything deep fried is now frowned upon, as is sweet tea. The feds tell us sugary drinks kill tens of thousands of people every year. Oh, please. If that was actually true, we wouldn't have any Southerners left. Look, this is what happens when you put the liberals in charge. And if you need further proof that our nation is in the throes of a culinary crisis, just consider what Chick-fil-A did. They replaced their delicious coleslaw with something called kale salad. What's next? Replacing the waffle fries with tofu? I'm Todd Starnes, a very disappointed Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning with Fred Jackson on this Monday. The Brexit reaction continues, and I tell you what, the markets are still feeling it out there. As we mentioned a few moments ago, tune in to Dan Celia, our financial issues program. That'll be underway in about 45 minutes or so, and he'll give you all the latest on how the markets are reacting this morning to Brexit. But the big story out of Brexit, as we've been talking about, is the why. Why did the British people, despite what all the pundits were saying, despite the fact that the media was encouraging the Brits to stay in the EU, the establishment politicians were saying it. Barack Obama was telling the Brits to stay in the EU. Hillary Clinton, stay in the EU. Donald Trump all the way along said, no, they should get out. Well, guess what happened? We all know the results on Friday by 52% to 48%. And as we've just been talking about, this New York Times piece basically said that Hillary Clinton apparently does not understand why the Brits did what they did, and perhaps she needs to investigate. It says Thursday's Brexit referendum was an unnerving reminder that voter anger is deeper and broader than many elite politicians and veteran pollsters realize. It quotes David B. Cohen, a professor of political science at the University of Akron. It says Trump, Sanders, and those in Great Britain who ran the Leave campaign are tapping into an anger and anxiety that is clearly festering. Working class folks, it says, in the United States are similar to working class folks in Europe, And a lot of those working class people feel as if the international economic system is not working for them and strangling the middle class. The question is Hillary Clinton going to change her mind, going to change her ideology, going to change her platform? Because her platform sounds a whole lot like Barack Obama. Well, we have that question this morning to our good friend Gary Bauer in Washington, D.C. with Campaign for Working Families. He joins us on the line right now. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. And been enjoying reading this New York Times piece. That liberal newspaper may just be getting it right. Patrick Healy wrote the article. Maybe just getting it right that maybe Mrs. Clinton needs to pay more attention instead of criticizing the Brits for leaving the EU.
You know, it's been really amazing to watch this whole thing, and I guess the average American probably hasn't been that focused on it until recent days. But what we saw in that vote, what was clearly what you were just talking about, the average guy in Great Britain can't believe what's happened to his country. First of all, he's not doing well economically, that worker in Britain. Many of the industries, the blue-collar industries, are under attack or have been shut down or regulated out of business. But then culturally, he looks at his country and he sees it becoming such a diverse, polyglot nation that it's hard to recognize it as being Britain anymore. It hit him somewhere along the line that Great Britain doesn't control its own borders, that it's got to take in as many migrants and refugees as Europe tells them to take in. In other words, Fred, it's all the things we're seeing play out in the rest of Europe and here in the United States. You know, if globalization was producing a surplus of lawyers and bankers, the elites would all be furious. But what it's done is produce a surplus of low-skilled labor from the third world. And that's undercutting the wages and the economic hopes and dreams of millions of people in the Western world. And they are losing in the globalization. They don't like it. They don't like the unelected bureaucrats. And we've seen the first real reaction at the polls that's been successful.
You know, Gary, it's interesting now that we've seen what has happened in the UK. And I'm sure the Clinton camp has been looking at this. And you kind of understand the public reaction to all of this. But knowing Bill and Hillary Clinton, they want to win. And it seems kind of silly that they wouldn't take what they saw in the UK and say, maybe we have to adjust the message a little bit. And they don't seem to be willing to do that.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, they seem to be as out of touch as George Soros and a lot of the people predicting that the vote in Britain would go the other way. The only thing that I've seen her do to try to take advantage of this is to emphasize the headlines, the uncertainty of it all. The world has become more uncertain, everybody is saying. And then she follows that with, I'm the one with the experience that can navigate this uncertainty. You need to go with somebody with the skills and the knowledge I have, not an unpredictable outsider like Donald Trump. That's probably the best she's going to be able to do without outraging the left-wing groups that basically control the Democratic Party at this point. And by the way, I know you've caught this. I can't tell you how many times in the last 72 hours I've heard some wise commentator say, nobody knows what's going to happen. Britain outside the European Union, we're in uncharted waters. Well, Britain has been outside of something called the European Union for the great majority of its existence. Mm-hmm. There's only been a European Union in recent years. So the notion that England now, Great Britain, is going to go down the tubes and nobody will trade with them. There's 65 million people. They're right off the coast of Europe. They're a tremendous market. People will trade with them. Europe will trade with them. So I think we need to be very careful not to feel anxious and make bad financial decisions based on the panic of American and European elites.
You know, Gary, I was reminded this morning of a quote from the Obamacare architect, Jonathan Gruber, when they were working their way through passing the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, talked about relying on the so-called, quote, stupidity of the American voter. I mean, what an indictment. What an indictment of the thinking of the Obama-Clinton team, that they're relying, what they say, on the stupidity of the American voter. Well, I bet you they thought, you know, that the Brits would stay in because, you know, they're stupid. They've learned to rely on the European Union. But that's not the case. The middle class out there, the working families, of whether it's the Brits or the American people, are not as stupid as the Obama-Clinton people think they are.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Look, one of the things that was so dramatic in the vote the other night was in places like Birmingham, England, and I think there's a place called Sunderland, very working class areas, also very ethnically diverse, and all the experts said that those places would vote overwhelmingly to remain in the European Union. Well, I think in the case of Birmingham, if I recall, they did vote to remain, but only by a few thousand votes. About a quarter of a million people voted to remain. A quarter million of people voted to leave. And those that voted to leave were these people that the left calls stupid, that thinks that they can, you know, fool them and trick them and make them vote against their own self-interest. These working-class people saw what was happening to their neighborhoods, to their lives, to their economic future. And they said, you know what, I want the Britain back where I got to elect or I got to vote out of office the people that were making the most important decisions and governing me. I don't think most people realize that, you know, the European Union bureaucrats, the leaders of the European Union, nobody voted for them. They were now passing the majority of laws that were governing the people of Great Britain. And the people of Great Britain had no way to vote the European leaders out of office if they disagreed with those decisions.
You know, this anger and discontent that we've been talking about that here in America we seem to share with the folks in Britain who voted to leave the EU, it seems to be an asset right now that the Trump camp could really kind of tap into. But there's still the problems within the Republican Party that are still working against Donald Trump. Do you think what happened in the UK may be some kind of catalyst to help the Republicans come together under Trump?
You know, it should be, but I have to admit I was disappointed the other day when my friend Speaker Paul Ryan did his weekly press conference, and he opened by giving a statement about the vote on Brexit, and it was so lukewarm. I mean, it would have been a great time to say, look, I have been in favor of more trade deals, but I must admit that I've been caught by surprise by the angst here in the United States and across the world about these deals and what the deals are doing to millions of people. I think this is one of the reasons we have sort of a surprise nominee of the Republican Party. And as Speaker of the House, I'm going to sit down with Donald Trump, and I'm going to ask him for a briefing on how is it that he perceived these anxieties and understood them, and those of us in Washington did not. You know, show a little bit of humbleness. Show a little bit of admitting that maybe you're out of touch. It would be a great time to unite around the nominee, but if they keep taking shots at him, they will guarantee that Hillary Clinton is the next president of the United States.
That's an incredible mission, isn't it, by Paul Ryan, that we need a briefing from Donald Trump as to what happened in Britain?
Well, I'm saying that's what Paul Ryan should have said.
Yeah.
But instead, he was very lukewarm. He just said, well, the people of England have spoken, and we respect what they said. What I was suggesting is that
yeah,
should have been a little humble,
right,
and say, hey, look, something's obviously going on here. I missed it.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan missed it. Donald Trump appears to understand it. So we think we're going to do very well this November. But instead, he looked to me like he was as sad as the other elites about how the people of Great Britain voted.
Which is what's driving middle America crazy.
It is.
That, you know, the group that kind of brought out of the Tea Party movement that these conservative Americans help put into office to change things, obviously they're drinking the Kool-Aid of big government still.
They are, of big government and loose borders and uh, uh, of of political correctness. It's been very disturbing and I think very revealing to watch. But by the way, there are two polls out. Both of them show Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump. One of them, it's well within the margin of error. I think it's 4 or 5 points, and I suspect that's where the race is. The other one, the Washington Post poll, your listeners may hear about it today, shows Hillary Clinton beating Donald Trump 51% to 39%. Mm. I was very upset when I heard that this morning. Then I looked at the poll. They polled 12% higher numbers of Democrats than Republicans. They polled adults, not even registered voters. So when you hear about this poll later today, don't believe it. This is not a measurement of public opinion. It's an effort by the Washington Post and one of the major networks to mold public opinion by panicking conservatives into believing that Trump's going to lose by a landslide.
Gary, you're not saying that the mainstream media is somewhat biased, are you?
You know, we've lived with that bias all my life in Washington, but I have to say I have never seen this level of over-the-top, all-in for the left and for the Democrats and for Hillary Clinton. I mean, they don't even pretend anymore that they're neutral observers and reporters. Unfortunately, however, they still do have an impact on some voters.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, the mainstream of this country is learning about that bias. They really are. They're catching on to it. And I guess with the advancement of social media and more conservative media out there, people are being educated to the truth. Just like your comment there in really giving us an analysis of that Washington Post poll.
Yes, and I would remind folks also that if you go back to June of 1980, the year that Ronald Reagan defeated Jimmy Carter, in June of that year, Ronald Reagan was losing to Jimmy Carter in a real poll mm-hmm. by 10, 11 points. So we got a long way to go. But as you said, it sure would be helpful if the Republican Party would close ranks and stop forming circular firing squads where they fire at conservatives instead of firing at Hillary Clinton.
You know, you mentioned Ronald Reagan there. Somebody was mentioning over the weekend, 1979, Margaret Thatcher became the Prime Minister of Britain. And guess what happened a year later? Ronald Reagan comes in. And the point they were making, could that wave that we have now seen manifesting in Britain, could that cross the Atlantic for November?
I think the analogy is really a good one. There clearly is something stirring, not only in the United States, but around the world. There have been other elections in Europe in recent weeks that haven't made news, but a new mayor of Rome was elected, a populist woman. All the parties in Europe that are talking about borders mattering and sovereignty mattering are all going up in the polls. So the same issues that we're worried about, as Donald Trump says, if you don't have a border, you're not a country. And in the last 8 years under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, effectively this country has not had a real border. So I think some of the same forces are at work that could have a big impact this November.
Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families, always a treasure to talk to you, sir. Our eyes and ears in Washington. If people want to get your end of day, which is just a terrific kind of summary of what goes on in our country on a daily basis, how do they get that?
They can go to ouramericanvalues.org.
Ouramericanvalues.org. Terrific piece. I get it every day. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Take care. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Gary Bauer, I tell you what, that's the big question, folks. Do you think what has happened in Britain is going to wash over in this country? Are people going to wake up and tap into the anger that we saw in that vote in Britain? Is it going to manifest itself on this side of the water? 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Your opportunity to kind of chime in on this. You've had 2 or 3 days to kind of churn it over in your minds. I'm sure you talked about it at church yesterday. Is it going to have an effect in November in this country? 888-589-8840 is the number to call. We'll get to you as soon as we come back after the break.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
You're a seasoned pastor, but you've always wanted more biblical and theological education. Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Now is the time for you to apply for Master of Divinity Studies at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Biblical inerrancy and God's call to holy living are at the heart of our online learning. Our courses will give you the laser-like focus for pastoral ministry that you need. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Preach the word. Reach the world. WBS.edu.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
You know, there is so much uncertainty about what to do and how to do it when it comes to this incredible responsibility to be a good steward of what God's entrusted us with. Whether it's a lot or a little, it's irrelevant. But it's a very scary prospect today in this day of volatility.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia every weekday morning from 8 until 10 Central and Saturday from 10 to 11 on AFR Talk.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Philosophy professor Anne Maloney recently wrote for Crisis Magazine an article entitled What the Hookup Culture Has Done to Women. In her article, she gives several examples of lives scarred by our culture's casual view of sex, and she sums them up in this way. All too often, these women come to me in a state of bewilderment. No more are they shackled by ridiculous bonds like commandments, moral rules, words like chastity. They shout, "We're free," yet they whisper, "Why are we so miserable?" It's no coincidence that the top two prescribed drugs at our state university's health center are antidepressants and the birth control pill, unquote. Sex was designed by God for marriage, to be enjoyed by a husband and a wife, and to make them one. Outside of that context, we have no peace with God or with ourselves. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A new poll suggests that large majorities of Americans agree with the common sense proposition that we should stop importing jihadists. A murderous attack in Orlando heightened concern that we already have too many here. This online survey by Opinion Savvy found that 71% of respondents support identifying foreign supporters of Sharia law prior to their admission to the United States. Of those favoring such identification, 80% believe Sharia supremacists should not be admitted into the country. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump put this issue on the political map last year by calling for a temporary pause in admissions of Muslims until a way can be found to determine whether they're potential terrorists. In recent days, he suggested applying that restriction to would-be immigrants from certain countries. Newt Gingrich argues the defining test should instead be adherence to Sharia. He's right. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Go to our phones in just a second. I wanted to mention to you, there were so-called gay pride parades in a couple of big cities over the weekend, one in San Francisco and one in New York. And we've been talking about Hillary Clinton. Apparently, Hillary Clinton showed up for a little bit. She walked a couple of blocks in the one, the gay pride parade in New York. And just enough for the photo ops, you know, get a few pictures. And that was it. She was out of there. She got back in her vehicle. Well, some people are calling Scooby-Doo or something like that. They call the vehicle Scooby-Doo. Anyway, she was out for a few pictures going along, but she wasn't going to do the whole walk. She was back in that car and she was gone. But, you know, you know, that's the kind of thing that drives people crazy about politicians, isn't it? Photo op, photo op. That's what it's all about. It's about that image for a few moments and then move on. But that's politics, and that's why there's so much, one of the reasons there's so much skepticism about politicians today overall. All right. Our question today is about, do you think the wave that began in Britain last week with the vote to exit the European Union, UK, getting out of the European Union, do you think it's going to wash over here to America? There are many people believe that the angst, the anger that was expressed in that vote in the UK is here in America too, and has kind of been seen even in the primaries, in the large number of turnout for the Republican primary, but also in the support for Bernie Sanders. He had the support of many millennials, young people. He's an older gentleman, but still he had a lot of young people on his side. And should Hillary Clinton be concerned? And is she concerned enough about what happened in Britain to change her platform a little bit? A lot of people think probably not. Your opinion on this? Let's go to our phones to Roy in Oklahoma. Welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. I wish I had the luxury of speaking for about 20 minutes on this. It's hard to convince it right now, but they did absolutely the right thing, and it's going to be difficult because there was so much control over Britain that it's going to be hard for them to figure out how to undo the damage and start all over again. But they were a powerful nation before all that happened, and they've just spiraled into insignificance. And the only thing they ever did right was keep their British pound out of the European Union. But mainly I'd like to talk about the United States. Mm-hmm. We have the most litigious country probably in the history of the entire world right now. We have more lawyers and more laws, and we do nothing with it. And the solution is to hold people accountable when they break the law. Dillinger and those guys were hunted down, and they were put out of commission. We have a legal system that is not doing that. It is not it is totally a legal system, legalistic. It's nothing to do with justice. It won't be easy, but it's simple. A grade school child can understand when somebody does something wrong, they need to stop it, repent, or be put out of commission. And we've got people in the White House, we've got people in Washington, D.C., in the industry, and one world government people that are controlling us, which is totally illegal, immoral, and unconstitutional, and not very biblical either.
Yeah.
And it's up to the people to demand that our legal system
change.
Stop.
Absolutely. And Roy, yeah, I think you're exactly right. And that has been mentioned. You know, elections have consequences, as our president, Tim Wildman, has said many times. And we have seen the consequences, especially over the last 8 years or so, of the election of President Barack Obama and then the re-election in 2012. And one of the huge issues is the power to control and to appoint federal judges. And like it or not, our courts are making a lot of the decisions for us now because justices have been appointed who no longer believe in the Constitution of the United States, of upholding, understand their job is to uphold the law, not to say that the law, okay, I don't agree with this law anymore, or to give it an interpretation that was never meant by the designers of the law. That's what's going on, and that's why this election, with the death of Scalia, we now see whoever it is, and the President Barack Obama, expressing great frustration again last week because they will not consider his latest nominee to replace Scalia. But everybody knows what's going on here. Barack Obama wants as far left an individual on that court as possible. And those individuals stay on for as long as they want. It's a lifetime appointment. And so that's a key issue of what's going on in our legal system today. And the next president, are they going to be a constitutionalist? Last week, when the group of evangelicals met with Donald Trump, they were one of the things they were glad to hear is that he will have very conservative organizations vetting any of his nominees for federal courts. And that is one thing that they were very pleased with. All right, back to our phones. To James in Midway Park, North Carolina. James, good morning. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Well, you're wondering if it could happen. It's been happening here.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought in NAFTA and GATT, that wiped out our borders, that wiped out our sovereignty, that wiped out everything that America's supposed to be. And not only that, it took away our military and put it completely under United Nations control in 1994. This is our president issued an executive order, number 25, and placed United States military forces under United Nations command. And there, for one while, they were flying a U.N. flag over Fort Polk, Louisiana. Mm. And I asked somebody, was it still flying there a few weeks ago? And they checked for me. They said, no. I said, well, they probably did that to try to fool the people because we were getting wise to it. Mm. Yes, there's no doubt about it. This is all about putting United States of America under a one-world government. We already have a North American Union, but nobody's been paying attention to it.
Well, James, I think you're exactly right, and the globalist attitude is certainly alive and well on the Clinton side of things, and I think it's all part of, and analysts have certainly come out and said this, when you talk about these desires in the Barack Obama administration for global treaties on so-called global warming. That's all part, many people say, of this kind of globalist agenda to bring the United States under international treaties. And that's one of the concerns that many people have about so-called man-made global warming. Frederick in Missouri, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning.
I guess it's Constance in Frederick, Missouri. Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I am an 80-year-old widow, very proud of this country, but I am so sad for it today. Mm-hmm. Because we have so many people that are not strictly thinking properly. I don't know what the problem is. We've never had it like this before, and it's taken about 40 years for it to come to a head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe it started right around 76. Mm-hmm. So, America, come back to your country.
Yeah,
I pray that, and I think that is what we're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. God has had enough.
So what you're saying, Constance, really the source of our problem is our spiritual rebellion against God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Constance, I think that is extremely accurate. Your assessment is one that is shared by many Christians today, that the answer to, if we're in spiritual rebellion, then the answer, too, is getting back to godly principles. And that is certainly biblical. And reading through the Old Testament and the New Testament, that's where it has to start. There has to be a confession of sin and a turning of repentance. And that's why we need to be praying for our leaders, that the Holy Spirit would convict their hearts and that they would surrender their political ideologies to God, the one true sovereign God. Kathy and Eric in Arkansas, I believe it is. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I just had a couple of comments. Number one, I was thrilled to see that the Britons decided they should not be part of the European Union. And if you read the press ahead of that, there was these huge predictions that it would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very exciting to see the people really wanted to take their country back. And I think the parallel in that is the election or the primary election of Donald Trump, because he was talking about making America great again and bringing back our values and principles. And I think the people in this country have spoken by choosing him. He was not my first choice, but I do believe in a lot of the things he believes in. But I think what we're looking at now is a failure within the Republican Party to unite behind this candidate. And to understand that if we don't choose him, we are in effect choosing Hillary Clinton. And I don't know if other people, when they look at Hillary Clinton, see what I see, but I just see pure evil. And I am just appalled that people cannot see what they are doing by not supporting Donald Trump in trying to bring America back to the people again and back to some having the idea that America is great. And I think it started when we started taking education out of school that taught the children that we are a great country and try to water down our history. And so I'm hoping that people will wake up and realize that we do not need Hillary Trump. Hillary Clinton under any circumstances. And so even though Donald Trump might not be your first choice, you know, it's imperative that we don't put Hillary in office.
All right, Kathy, we appreciate those observations. Yeah, it's a complicated problem. People talk about turning the country around. And, of course, you have to go back, as our caller was just mentioning there. It's an education system that basically has been indoctrinating our kids now for 30, 40 years with a propaganda that socialism is the route to go. And so that's why you see, I believe, in our politicians today and our school system and also the media. The media, in the case of the Brits and the recent Brexit vote, I'm told that the BBC, which is basically the only media that they have there in Britain, was a major, major promoter of remaining in the EU. So you have to incorporate all of those things in your strategy. How do you change the country? Well, it depends on where you get your news. And we ought to be checking our school system, checking with your school districts and your school trustees as to what our kids are being taught. Those are two of the areas that have to change before you're going to see that swing back that you've seen in Britain. Greg, in Huntsville, Texas, you're probably going to be our last caller for the day, but go ahead.
Good morning, Fred. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great.
One of the things I've noticed over the last couple of weeks or so, I've been reading a book called Reckless Endangerment, where Sandy had one of the authors on the show, and over this Brexit vote and everything going on, one of the things that I've noticed as a common denominator is Goldman Sachs is heavily involved. They were heavily involved in the 2008 financial meltdown. Hillary Clinton does all sorts of speaking engagements in front of them. Goldman Sachs is involved heavily in deciding who gets on the European Union in Brussels, who represents those countries. And they have their tentacles in just about everything. And I really think that is part of the big problem, is the fact there is so much money involved that these politicians, they're essentially bought. And Goldman Sachs is, like I say, they seem to be the common denominator in all of these things that we are seeing. And it's pretty interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, Greg, we appreciate those comments. It's interesting that Clinton talks a lot about, you know, Wall Street and that sort of thing. But if you really analyze where she gets her money, and she's got very, very deep pockets right now, the people that have been investing in her, other governments, it's going to be a whole story, a documentary someday about the Clinton Foundation, where that money has come and how money coming into that foundation intersected with the people that Hillary Clinton met with on a regular basis while she was Secretary of State. But that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a very corrupt system. And you know what the UK saw, what voters in the UK saw was, here's an opportunity for us to extract ourselves from those big governments, big government programs, and control over our lives by somebody else. And the question this morning, the question remains, will that kind of rebellion against big government find its way here to the United States with the election that's coming up in November? We'll have 4 months to decide that, don't we? Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning. Been good to be with you. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. You have yourself a good day. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.